If you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Joshua. If you go to the front of your Bible, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible. Joshua chapter 3, that's got a thought in here. Now, there's 17 verses in this chapter, and there are a lot of good things in this chapter. But I want to take the thought of the new year and talk about that this morning, and we'll draw some things out of this chapter dealing with the new year. I was thinking about new year, and the first thing I thought about was the giant ball dropping in Times Square, which I'm not going to sit up and watch. I'll be long in bed by the time that happens. And then Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians playing Auld Lang Syne. You remember that? But the other thing I remember is that in our hymn books, we used to have hymns about the new year. We have Christmas hymns. We have Thanksgiving hymns. We used to have New Year's hymns in the hymn book. And I went back to the 1956 hymnal, and there were four of them. Father, Let Me Dedicate, hymn number 498. Father, let me dedicate all this year to thee, in whatever worldly state thou wilt have me be. Not from sorrow, pain, or care, freedom dare I claim. This alone shall be my prayer. Glorify thy name. That was number 498, Father, let me dedicate. Hymn number 495, for all the blessings of the year, for all the friends we hold so dear, for peace on earth, both far and near, we thank thee, Lord. And then number 496 in that hymn book, ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring happy bells across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. And then my favorite, which I like as well as the Thanksgiving hymns, is Another Year is Dawning, number 497 in that hymn book. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be in working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days. Another year of service, of witness for thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven. Another year for thee. But they don't put those songs in the hymn book anymore. And I was thinking, New Year's used to be a big thing. I don't think it's a big thing anymore except for people to party on New Year's Eve. Are you going to a New Year's Eve party? You know why we can't have school on January 2nd? Because too many students would be hung over to come to college. You know, I've got students that come up to me, well, I won't be there on October 21st. Why? Because I'm turning 21 the day before, and I'm going to be hung over that day, so I won't be in class. Because they'll be legally able to drink that day. Yeah. Well, I can't go to school that day because it's my birthday. Well, I've worked on my birthday every year that I can remember. Sorry about that. But when you're serious about working, you work, you know. People are not serious about New Year's resolutions. That used to be a big thing. What are you going to try to do better this year? What are you going to try to do that's going to improve you this year? Nick Saban, some of you know who he is. Nick Saban said the road to success is always under construction. The road to success is always under construction. And it used to be a big deal. I want to try to do this year. I want to accomplish this year. Where do you want to be a year from now? Set some goals. And the only thing you hear about New Year's resolutions now is you hear the jokes about them. It's just a big joke. How many days is it going to take for you to break your resolution? New Year's is not like it used to be, and we don't take it seriously anymore. But it's important. The month of January, which starts our year, is named after the Roman god Janus. The Roman god Janus had two faces. He faced the past and he faced the future. And you went into his temple, it had two doors. It had a front door and a back door. And so you worshiped the Roman god Janus because he was the past and he was the future. Paul talked about that when he said, leaving those things which are behind and moving toward those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to look at this chapter, Joshua chapter 3. Now the key thought is the last phrase of verse 4. The last phrase of verse 4 says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You haven't passed this way before, so what should you do? But let's look at the whole chapter. Let's look at the text. Verses 1 through 6 are the path. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, the Jordan River. And he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that thou mayest know the way by the way ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest and said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now that's the path. Beginning in verse 7, going through verse 13 is the promise. Beginning with verse 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. They may know that as I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan, that is in the river. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before thee the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gershonites, Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, now remember he keeps saying that, the Lord is the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the rivers of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now, beginning in verse 14, see, we had the path, we had the promise, now we have the power. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the Lord, and as they bear the Ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. Now this was the time of the barley harvest in Canaan. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, now that's the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Jericho's on the other bank of the Jordan River. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry land in the midst of Jordan. And all of Israel passed over the dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It's interesting. One person I read said, God knows the way. God leads the way. God opens the way. And that's the way God works. You have not passed this way before. Søren Kierkegaard, the philosopher that I disdain, the melancholy Dane, but he did say this. It's the only thing I remember he ever wrote. He said, "Life is lived looking forward, but life is only understood looking backward." But 2019, the new year, is only lived looking forward. And God told Joshua, "You've not passed this way before." Edmund Burke, his most famous quote is, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." But he also said this, "You can never plan the future by looking at the past." You can never plan the future by looking at the past. This whole chapter deals with the future with God, following God, and fellowship with God. Now, one of the things that comes out here is, who is God? Verse 11, the Lord of all the earth. And then again in verse 13, the Lord of all the earth. God places people, God prepares people, God protects people, God pities people, God understands what we're going through, God participates with people. We serve an immanent God. He's just not out there somewhere. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God is active in this world, and God is active in our lives. God partners with us. That's why Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. God empowers us. A lot of things we couldn't do on our own, we have to have God's help to do. And God will give it to us. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." God proves himself. What does it mean, he proves himself? How many times in the Bible does it say, "and it came to pass"? Of course it came to pass. God said it. God said it, God's going to do it. It came to pass. Yes, God keeps his promises. It came to pass, and that's the way this chapter opens. "And it came to pass after 3 days." So, that is the text. Now, what is the truth out of this for New Year's? And I want to give you five truths. I'm going to tell you I've got five, because when I finish with number five, you'll know it's time to go home. And I'll know it's time to quit, okay? So, sometimes guys get up there, and they, you know how you grab something, don't know how to turn it loose? Sermons work that way sometimes, guys. Okay, you grab a hold of something, don't know how to turn it loose, don't know when to turn it loose. So I've got five things, all right? Number one, Joshua told them to sanctify themselves. This is the Hebrew word kadosh. It means to separate yourself. Separate from the world and focus on God. That's where the word holy comes from. Kadosh. God is holy, and he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." And so we separate ourselves. We step back from the world. And that doesn't mean step back from all the things that lure us and tempt us, but step back from everything that pleases us and we like, but step back away from everything that hurts us. Step back from everything and focus on God. Put God first. "Accept ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." G. Campbell Morgan said, "The wonders of God are performed for his people when they sanctify themselves." If they hadn't sanctified themselves on the bank of the Jordan River, they wouldn't have been able to walk across on dry land. See, you give yourself to God first, and then God gives you his blessings. You know why? Because to be blessed, we had to be blessable. You know, some people say, "Well, why isn't God blessing my ministry?" Well, what are you doing that's blessable? Why isn't God blessing my life? What are you doing that's blessable? We have to be blessable to get blessed. Churches have to be blessable to get blessed. People have to be blessable to get blessed. So the first thing is to separate yourself. Sanctify yourself unto God. Now the second one is, the center of life is Jesus. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is the symbol of Jesus. He is the Ark. The Ark, the seat of the Ark, was the throne of God. He that sits between the cherubim, there were two cherubim on the lid of the ark, the mercy seat. It is the throne of God. Now remember, Israel camped around the ark, and if you study the numbers, there were three tribes. If you add up the numbers of the tribes, the numbers form the shape of a cross. In the camping of the tribes around the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle. Okay, we're going to look at that in a few weeks when we look at the Ark. And they marched in the shape of a cross. Numbers says, as they camped, so they marched. Three tribes, the double tribe of Gershom and Merari, and then nine tribes. They marched in the shape of a cross for 40 years in the wilderness. Interesting. You know, when they sprinkled the blood on the doorposts and on upon the lintel, they took the blood of the lamb on Passover night, did both the sides of the doorpost, did the lintel, and let their hand drop, and they were making the sign of a cross. So you wonder about the cross all the way through Bible history. It's there if you see it. They camped around the ark, and they followed the ark. The ark was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Now, let me ask you this. What was inside the ark? The ark had three things. The ark had the pot of manna. God told them, save one pot of manna, keep it in the ark, and it never went bad. The ark had Aaron's rod that budded. Now, that's a story in the book of Numbers. And we're not going to look at it this morning. But the ark also contained the only thing in the tabernacle not made by human hands. The only thing in the tabernacle that people did not make, and that is the Ten Commandments. I would direct you to Exodus 31. Let me find it. Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Exodus 31, 18. Let me put my glasses on. Exodus 31, 18. What is the only thing not made by human hands in the tabernacle or inside the ark? He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. The only thing in the tabernacle not made by humans were the Ten Commandments. They were written by the finger of God. Exodus 31, verse 18. All right, so when they're following the ark, they're following God's word. When they're following the ark, they're following the Ten Commandments. When we follow the Bible, we are following God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 7 through 11, the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We follow the Bible. There was a man, he was one of these guys that went to church on Christmas and Easter, okay? So he was telling one of his buddies, he said, yeah, I signed up to go on a Holy Land trip, and one of the stops is Mount Sinai out in the desert. And when I get on top of Mount Sinai, where God gave the Ten Commandments, I'm going to yell out the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. And his friend, who knew what kind of life he lived, said, you know what? Instead of standing on Mount Sinai yelling out the Ten Commandments, it'd be better for you to stay here and live them. You know, sometimes the truth hurts, right? Number one, sanctify themselves. Number two, the center of life is Jesus. Number three, is it a coincidence or is it a miracle? Wow. Yeah, it was a coincidence. You know, the cliffs, the Jordan River has cliffs along it sometime, and sometimes the water erodes the cliffs, and sometimes the cliffs fall in and block off the Jordan River, and it doesn't flow for a few minutes or a few hours. So that's what happened. Had to be a coincidence. Just at the right time, they're going to walk across. The cliff fell in and blocked off the Jordan River. Now, that's happened a couple of times that way, okay? But it's interesting. Is this a coincidence or is this a miracle? Well, rabbis like to say coincidence is not a kosher word. Coincidence is not a kosher word. Number one, God said it was going to stop flowing. Verses 13 through 15, look at that with me. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. So first of all, God predicted it was going to happen. Second of all, it happened when the river was at flood stage. Look at verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of the harvest. The snows were melting. Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, the mountains up in southern Lebanon, all that water rushes down, goes into the Sea of Galilee, then goes into the Jordan River. It was flood stage. God didn't pick a time for them to walk across the river when it was only an inch or two deep. God picked a time where it was flood stage, all right? Number three, the wall of water was held in place for many hours or maybe even a day. It wasn't a few minutes. Number four, the soft, wet river bottom was dry. Verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood forth on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan River. And verse 18, the river started flowing again once they all went across. Verse 18. There is no verse 18. All right. Maybe verse 17. I was on drugs when I did this, okay? I was taking NyQuil. All right. And the priests that bear it stood firm on dry land, and all of Israel passed over into dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. Yeah. Is it a coincidence or was it a miracle? Yeah, take a look. You know, I've repeated to you many times what Martin Luther said. He said, I pray and things happen, and some people say it's coincidences. But when I quit praying, the coincidences quit happening. Yeah. Okay, God often does things, and the only explanation is God. Why? So God gets the glory. God does things so God can be glorified. I am the Lord of all the earth. Glorify me, God says. And God does things we don't expect. They didn't expect to walk across on dry land. There's a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah 64:3. Isaiah says of God, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. God, you do great and terrible things that we're not looking for. And God did this. They weren't looking at walking across on dry land, but God let it happen. You know, God does do things we don't expect. God is the God of surprises in our lives. Now, number four, to make progress, you have to move. You can't get to second base unless you touch first base. They didn't walk across on dry land until somebody stuck their foot in the water. What's the moral to that story? You have to stick your foot in the water to get across. And that's what we have to do in our lives. Sometimes God wants us to step out. It's not always comfortable. It's not always the most likely thing we would enjoy doing. But we do it. Progress involves risk. You can't cross over if you don't put your foot in the water. And you and I are both going to have times this year where we're going to have to put our foot in the water. And we need to trust God as we do it. Faith is more than thinking something is true. Faith is thinking something is true to the point where we act on it. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things not seen, but they acted on it. Let me ask you a question. Three frogs sitting on a log. One decides to jump off. How many are left? Three. Just because you decide to do something doesn't mean you do it. Right? Yeah, remember the three frogs. You have to step in the water. To make progress, you have to move. So, number one, sanctify ourselves. Number two, the center of life is Jesus. Number three, it's a miracle. It's not a coincidence. You know what? Only the eyes of faith can see the hand of God. Remember that. Only the eyes of faith see the hand of God. Number four, to make progress, you have to move. Exodus 14, 13, when they got ready to cross the Red Sea, God said to Moses, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Attitude is more important than activity. And then number five, he who honors God, God will honor. That was a great line in the movie Chariots of Fire. A very slow, boring movie about the Olympics, about the Scottish runner who became a missionary in China and died in a Japanese prison camp. Eric somebody. But he was called the Flying Scot, tremendous sprinter. And he was scheduled in the Olympics on a Sunday, and he refused to run on the Lord's Day. And he got a note from the heir to the throne of England. The Prince of Wales was there at the Olympics. And all the British people were mad at him. "Well, you're not a patriot. Well, you don't care about England. You don't care about our country." And yet he got this note, and it said, "He who honors God, God will honor." So he didn't run on Sunday. He ran the relay on Monday and won a gold medal in the Olympics. But the message of that movie to me was, he who honors God, God will honor. God does it in a way that nobody else can, so God can get the credit. The people obeyed, the water separated, God was glorified, God's servant was honored. It says that God magnified Joshua in the eyes of the people. Corrie ten Boom said one time, "Every experience God gives us and every person God puts in our lives is the perfect preparation for the future that only God can see." And God is getting us ready right now for what we're going to do in 2019. C.S. Lewis said, "If you trust God, there are better things ahead than anything we can leave behind." And that applies to this life, that applies to heaven. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. "The eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, he who honors God, God will honor. They cross over on dry land when the Jordan River is at flood stage. And what time of the year is it? It is the time of the barley harvest. They walked right into a land where they could harvest everybody's wheat and have plenty of food, because it was the land flowing with milk and honey, and God had promised it to them. God took care of them. It was the right place. It was the right time. And God told them, "Trust me, because you haven't been this way before." And they did, and it worked. God knows the way. God leads the way. God opens the way. And that's the truth of this chapter of the Bible, Joshua chapter 3. Now, if you don't know God, it won't work for you. You've got to know God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus said, John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so we're going to sing an invitation hymn. You need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Hymn number 472. Hymn number 472. If you need to make a decision, you come as we sing this invitation hymn. Hymn number 472.